Welcome back to Resolved. We all encounter difficult issues at times. Life can get tough, and it may seem impossible. But no matter what, and through it all, Jesus Christ is the answer. And through Him, we can rise up and be more than conquerors. Today's message is about the blessings of giving. If you own something that you're not willing to give up, you don't really own it. It owns you. Now, let's join Pastor Tom Porter next on Resolved.
Let's read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Heavenly Father, in the time that we have together, I pray, Father, that your word would speak to our hearts, that the life and the example that Jesus Christ has given to us will be able to bless our hearts. And may we be, as the word Christian means, to be Christ-like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Should believers always be generous? Should believers in the Lord Jesus Christ always be generous, whether you've got $1 million in the bank or you've got $5 in the bank? Should we as Christians always be generous? In tough economic times, our natural inclination is to hold back, is to stop being generous. Satan has a philosophy. His philosophy is, what's mine is mine. And Satan says, what's thine is mine. You see, that's Satan's philosophy. What's mine is mine. And I can prove that with two little kids. And one kid has a lollipop, the other kid doesn't have a lollipop. And it's the kid, I won't go there. All right. And I was going to name the shirts, but we just won't go there. But one little kid says, I want that sucker. And the other little kid says, no, it's mine. It's mine. Have your children ever said that? No, it's mine. I'm not going to share. It's mine. And even as adults, we kind of hold back. We're not as giving sometimes as we ought to be. I hope we'll see in the scriptures this morning how we can be more giving. However, Jesus talked frequently about the importance of giving, even to his fellow countrymen who were made poor by the Roman nation, made them poor. He said, you still need to be giving. As believers, we should not hoard what the Lord has given to us, but be generous and willing to share. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And that promise holds true whether you've got billions or you've got $5 in the bank. That still holds true. That is a fact. So remember, God teaches us that He blesses us so that we might bless others. Now, we're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ today. We're not here to worship the church, okay? We're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But when something good, when God blesses us and God gives us favor, we need to let the people know. We need to encourage one another in the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is a blessing? The word blessing represents an important biblical concept. When you ask God to bless someone, you are asking the Father to intervene in that person's life and to meet their needs. It's important when it's wonderful to say somebody, I pray God blesses you. And I like to say, I pray God blesses you a lot, a lot. I pray God's favor upon your life. And when you say things like that, you're asking Almighty God to bless somebody, to meet their needs according to His will. Why does God want to? The most important thing that He's done for us, He saved us. Amen? I mean, that's the most important thing, that He has saved us. I'm so glad for my salvation. I'm so glad that I know for a fact, according to the authority of the Word of God, that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have to wrestle with that. I don't have to spend time, I hope so. I know so, because the Bible tells me so. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. So we have that settled, Christians. We don't have to go back and forth on that. We're thankful for that. Why does He save us? He keeps sin from destroying our lives. Boy, sin's a killer. Sin will kill us. Sin cannot enter into heaven. So God is taking care of that through His Son, His shed blood on Calvary's cross. He saved us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Are you closer today to Jesus than you were last year? You know, the right progression, the true progression, the way you ought to be progressing in your Christian walk with the Lord, it ought to be every day growing sweeter and closer and dear to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single day. Every single day. And I know we have peaks and valleys. I realize that. But I, you know, even in my sickness this week, I thought, Lord, thank you for this, a couple of things. Thank you for letting me just spend time, more time with you. More time in reading your word, more time in studying. And sometimes my head would just split and I couldn't do that. Another thing I was thankful for, not only was I sick, my wife's been sick and she got better quicker, so that's good, so she could take care of us. Everybody in my family got sick. You know, my son couldn't go to work. He works third shift, and then he works sometimes during the day, and we could all be together. And it was just some sweet time. Sometimes the Lord just kind of has to put the brakes on us, but He gives us favor and to conform us in the likeness of His Son. And then thirdly, to make us trophies for His grace. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Turn there, Ephesians chapter 2. This is a good portion of Scripture. It's to make us trophies for His grace. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's enough of you. Come on. Even when we are dead in what? Our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, aren't you glad for your salvation? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Wow, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that Jesus saves us to conform us to be more like Him, to do His work on earth? He accomplishes it through obedient children. Are you an obedient child of God, or are you wrestling with God? Do you say no to God, or do you say yes to God? Brother Porter, how about you? You're the pastor. Boy, I wish I could tell you every time I said yes to God. That's my heart's desire, is to always say yes, always to be obedient. I don't always reach that mark, but my heart's desire is to always please God. And when I don't, I feel bad. I don't like it. And if you ought to feel bad, if you don't feel bad, there's something wrong. There's a spiritual problem there. It might be because you're not saved. Before I was saved, I would do some terrible things. I really would. And it wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, I'd brag about it. We'd talk about it, me and the gang. But once I received Christ as my Savior, I didn't want to do those things anymore. I had a new nature. I had Christ living in me. Is that you? And then how did Jesus set an example for us? Turn with me now to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22, one verse. 22, Luke 22, get there. Luke 22 and verse 27. This is so precious. The question is, how did Jesus set an example for us? He did it by serving. By serving. That's the key. You can sum the word ministry up with one word: serving. That's what ministry is. Look at verse 27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. What Jesus is saying here, what Jesus is saying is, it's like the one that's sitting at the table being served. He is saying, I want to get up and I want you servants to sit down at my table and I want to serve you. That's what service is. You sit down at the table, let me come, and let me serve you. He took that lower position, Jesus did. Why, He could have called 10,000 angels, but He took that lower. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ did. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He loves you so much that He died for you. He took that lower position. He took that position of being a server, and that is what He did on the cross. Not only that, but He fed the multitudes, didn't He? Well, that's being a servant. Well, they can all go to Arby's. They can make 250 sandwiches real quick. We called them one day, said, we need 250 sandwiches. How soon can you have it? Oh, we'll have them no time flat. I thought, man, they must have been on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus needed them, man, you know. But Jesus, he said, let's serve them. There's people here hungry. Let's serve them. What else did he do? He healed the sick. He forgave sins. He raised the dead. He comforted his followers. Don't let your heart be troubled. He comfort them. You spend time with other people comforting their hearts. He assured them that when they were confused before his crucifixion, Jesus promised that he would see them again. I'll be with you. I'll see you again. Don't be troubled. He was patient with those who didn't understand. Oh, Nicodemus, you know, ain't he something? I mean, a member of the Sanhedrin, just a real smart guy, but had no idea, did he, about being born again, the second birth. He took the time to explain that. Gave them peace when they were worried. He sacrificed himself for the sins of humanity. Well, who serves us? Pastor, who serves us? A number of years ago, we held a service around Thanksgiving time saying we're thankful for, and we had the garbage men of our city come. Remember that? And the street cleaners. And we had the surveyors. Anybody that worked for the city, we had them come. You see, they serve us. We've honored nurses and doctors in our county, in our city, because they serve us. I remember one time, one of the most exciting days that I can remember in times past, and we had the SWAT team was out here, and we had helicopters out here, we had a tank out here, and it was great. We had the SWAT tank that was out there, and it was saying, these are guys that serve us, that put their lives on the line each and every day. And many times, we don't take the time to say thank you. Well, these are people that serve us. And this church has had blessings because we have honored people like that. Well, how should we serve others? Jesus saved us, and we should preach the gospel. So a lot of people serve us, and we ought to serve others, just like Jesus did. He loved us. Well, we must, the Bible says, keep fervent in our love one for another, 1 Peter. He forgives our sins, and you and I can forgive those who have wronged us. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He provides for us, so we should be generous with others. 1 Timothy says, they that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Well, we see somebody in need. It's so wonderful in our church, and how I hear about, well, you know, I heard that they were down, and I took a meal to them, and or I took them somewhere. I took them to the doctors, or I went and got food for them and brought it to their homes. Whatever the needs are, even constructing wheelchair ramps and rails for people. That's a wonderful thing that we have in our church. Teaches us the truth, and we should share our spiritual insights with others. Galatians says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. He comforts us, and we can console others. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the Father of and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. It is so wonderful to have men and women in our church that are not afraid to sit down with somebody that's going through the waters and rivers and fires of life, and to say to them, how can we help you? What is your need spiritually? And let them cry and weep or maybe foam at the mouth and spit and holler, whatever, and then quiet them down and go to the Word of God that gives the comfort and the grace that is needed, you see. And then he encourages us, so we ought to lift up others. That preacher last week, nobody knows this but I'll tell it. That preacher last week, on Monday morning, he came down ready to talk to our children at chapel. He's been sick. Boy, when you're sick, it's tough. You try to get pumped up. I'm up here now trying to be pumped up. It's It's tough. And financially, he's full-time with that. He was as low as a guy could get. He never let on that. But he told me Monday morning, he said, man, after hearing about that offering, I am so pumped up. And God's not through with me yet. He said, I was, after this weekend, if things had not gone well, I was ready to give up the ministry and just go do something else. So what that offering did for that gentleman last week, for that minister of the gospel, that encouraged him to keep on keeping on. That's the importance of being a cheerful giver. Because you never know who you're, what that little token of whatever it is that you give to somebody, you never know the impact that's going to have on their life. You don't know what's going on between their ears and the war that's going on, perhaps. And that could be just the thing to quench a fire that Satan has welt up in their belly to quit, to give up, whatever. Oh, it's so important that we be a church, and we are a church that are givers. Are you a giver? Or are you best described as a taker? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But boy, ain't it fun to take. Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, man. Boy, thank you. Hey, I needed that. Boy, great. It's Christmas every day around here. Yeah, it's just great, you know. Man, after a while, it all gets dry, doesn't it? But man, to say, you know what, I don't have much, but what I've got, if I can use it to bless somebody else. You know, if you have something, you're not willing to give it up, you don't own it, it owns you. Amen. And just to be able to say, Lord, if I've got something I can help somebody with, I want to do that. I want to do that. And I thank God for this church. It reminds me of a gentleman, a friend of mine. I could list a lot of friends that have taught me the blessings of giving. But there's one friend that I met in Lake Wells, Florida. His name was Danny Combs. Danny Combs, when he was 10 years of age, Danny worked on a farm out in the Midwest. He was on a mower. He was 10 years old, didn't have his shirt on, had his blue jeans on, had his boots on, driving a tractor with a belly mower. It's not a bush hog with the blades in the back. It was right under the tractor. He's leaning on the right fender of the rear fender of the tractor. And, you know, it gets pretty monotonous out there on the farm, just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he slipped as a 10-year-old, fell. His right arm went under the belly mower and took his right arm right off. Now, he's out in the lower 40, 10 years of age. Dad's gone to town. Mom's in house cooking. He gets up. His arm's not completely gone. It's just hanging by tissue. He gets up and he goes to the house, and he knows better not to walk into the house, because Mama will get him if he's, you know, farmers know, you leave your boots outside. You don't trash the inside of the house. And that little boy, I said, were you screaming and crying? He says, no, I wasn't. He was in shock, I'm sure. And he knocked on the door, and Mama came to the door. Oh, my word, son. And I asked him, I said, Danny, what was the most painful part of you losing your arm? He said, Tom, the most painful thing was, he said, you remember those clear seat covers they used to have in cars? Those clear plastic seat covers? He said, this was in the heat of July in the afternoon. And my mother laid me in the back seat of that car. And he said, the most painful thing, Mark, about this whole thing was the nurses coming into my room every day and peeling that burnt skin off of my back. He said, that hurt more than the losing of my arm. But I will tell you that Danny Combs is one of the most givingest people I've ever known. He can do more with one hand. He and I would work around the church there in Lake Wales, and he can load his mower. If I was him, I'd never get around a mower again. But He can load his tractor, one of those yard tractors. He loads it in his little Chevy S10 pickup by himself without a ramp. No ramp. Strong. His hand is twice as wide as my right hand or my left hand. See, shake his hand. He's missing his left hand. He can take an engine out of a car, one hand. He can tune an engine, one hand. He used to work for BMW in Winter Haven, Florida. Can you imagine that? One hand. Man, I can lose my salvation with two hands trying to work on a car. I can't believe a guy with one hand. But Danny Combs, a very giving person. Cheerful givers can be assured of supernatural joy on earth and eternal rewards in heaven. Oh, Danny Combs' wife has breast cancer and a tumor in her brain and two precious boys. Danny Combs drives a bus for the church, picking up children. Danny Combs works around his church now at Central Baptist in Winter Haven. He got me on Facebook the other day and goes, "Hey, your former pastor is going to be at our church talking about OTAN, his mission field." He's excited about the things of God. There's a little kid that mom and dad could have just coddled and babied and just protected him, and he might have ended up just being, you know, just some little shriveled up kid and growing up and never amount to a thing. But no, God used him in a great and mighty way. Hey, you've got two hands. What are you doing for God? Are you reaching out for others? Are you reaching out for others?
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Tom Porter of Temple Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. I would like to thank you for joining me in this podcast and bringing the good news that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. There is no problem too big and no blessing too small when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I would like to ask you a question. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with Jesus forever or be eternally separated from Him? You know, the Bible says, "Whosoever calleth upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from their sins." You know, it's God's desire for you to have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Your sins have separated you from God. You must admit to God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Jesus bridges that gap between you on this earth and heaven. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior today? It's easier than you think. You can pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I realize that you paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, and I want to receive you into my life right now. Save me from my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then you've been born into the family of God.
Thanks for listening. Resolved is a production of Temple Baptist Church, Titusville, Florida, USA. For notes on this message and others, you can find them at resolved.podbean.com. Make sure you visit our main website at templebc.net. And if you're ever in our area, we hope that you'll come by and see us. Remember, Jesus is Lord. So take care, and God bless you.